listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm here in the studio this month, as I am every month, with Suzanne Bjornsson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here. Well, it's a new year, and we were thinking that today we would talk about kind of an overview of the programs that are available between both of these agencies. One is Northwest Senior and Disability Services is in Oregon. Olympic Area Agency on Aging is in Washington. And there's an awful lot to offer to the demographic of seniors. But Doug, before the show, you were telling me some really interesting statistics about our target audience. So tell our listeners what you were telling me before.
Well, I could summarize it by saying we as seniors are taking over. We've got, about time, huh? The population's really been growing, but we're at a point now that one out of every seven people are over 65.
Wow.
So, and that's roughly about 15% of our population. And it's been projected that in the next decade or so that seniors will actually outnumber children. I think, you know, part of it is people are having children later or deciding not to have children at all. And the seniors are aging more healthfully and working longer and staying more active longer. So the population shift has really changed there. The unemployment rate among seniors has dropped by a third because people are continuing to work. When we first started tracking such things, we thought, well, yeah, they're working because the job that they have covers their insurance and all of that. Well, that's true to a certain extent. But a lot of people are rejoining the workforce just to maybe pay part of their Medicare premium or something like that, but because they want to stay active also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on, and the whole demographic has changed. I've noticed that the, even in the advertising, when they first started targeting seniors, when someone somewhere looked at an actuarial table and said, wow, there's a big demographic over there, most of the ads were, do you have coverage for your family when you pass to the other? You know, and it's all this stuff about you can be cremated for $1.99 or, you know, all these different things.
Yeah,
and it was all
services.
Geared towards, towards end of life. It was all geared towards, you're going to die soon. Or if you're not going to die soon, you're going to be so sick that you need all this other insurance.
But that's not really happening.
It isn't. And the demographic has changed. Now, if you're looking at a lot of those ads, I mean, those are still there. But you're seeing a lot more ads on how to refinance maybe your home so you can do something you want to do. Here's some investments that you can look into that are long term. Well, they didn't used to target people in their 60s on any kind of long term anything. So they eventually have turned that. So the model has changed from end of life everything to this is still an active group, and it's a group that's growing and growing and growing.
Wow, so we're not going away.
No, and we
we
will
larger.
Not go silent into that dark night.
Evidently not. Well, that's probably a good thing. But so then what that means is that for agencies like yours and Suzanne's, it means that there's a lot of services that you have to offer and a lot of people who need them or who can access them because of their age. So let's just talk about some of those programs that so Suzanne, let's start with you. What about Northwest Senior and Disability Services? Sometimes people ask me, they know I do the show about some issue, and I'll just say in Oregon, and I'll just say, well, call Northwest Senior and Disability Services but people, I still think, even though we've been doing this show for 15 years or something, still really don't know. Not everybody listens to everything, don't really know what is available, and there's just a lot of things. So can you give us kind of a list of what people can, give people an idea?
Yeah, so that list keeps changing because more programs become available, and we have currently, we work with some of the hospitals and things like that, but a big focus is our prevention programs. You know, let's keep people healthy and prevent some of these ongoing issues like diabetes or falling,
So age-related suicide. Issues that could be prevented.
Correct. Right. And so that's kind of a big push right now that we were all talking about. And some of the, I would say three of the big ones that we have right now, we have a diabetes prevention program, and those are for people that are pre-diabetic.
So type 2 diabetes we're probably talking about.
Yeah. And insurance oftentimes will pay for that. And so that's an opportunity. It's a year-long program. And so it's ongoing in the beginning. For the first 16 weeks, it's you're meeting every single week. And then it changes to every other week for the rest of the year. So it is ongoing, and it's evidence-based. So it also has shown that we can reverse this type 2 diabetes, or the, you know, pre-diabetes is what it is. And then we also have an Otago exercise program that we serve in this county, and now it is in the South County as well, in Seaside area.
And what is that? Can you
explain? Otago is an endurance and balance program. It's, again, another evidence-based program, and it works with a physical therapist and a personal trainer. And you're working with them for ongoing for a year, and they are helping you with that balance for fall prevention. And the Astoria area, we have a little bit of a wait list, but in Seaside, we're open. And so I'm looking to get more people onto that program. It is everybody that has done that program, it has been well received. Doctors really like it once they get their patients on the program. And so to get on that, your doctor can send a referral to us, or you just call Northwest Senior, and then we can ask the questions and take it on a little bit further and follow up with your doctor to get the information that we need to get to serve you ongoing. So again, those are two evidence-based programs. Then we also have the Senior Peer Mentoring Program, and we've talked about that before on this show, especially during like suicide prevention and things like that. That is for people who have slight anxiety and depression. And so that is a workbook model. You're working with a volunteer. They're not a companion, but what they're doing is they're helping you through these workbook modules, and you are doing the work, and then it's helping you to recognize maybe signs and symptoms and things like that that might cause you to go into a slight depression or have some anxiety, so you can learn to work through that. So again, another evidence-based program. So we document a lot in those programs, but it's really to kind of, they all help empower the consumer. They're working ongoing with a professional or a volunteer, mm-hmm. but also they're being empowered to get stronger or to take on their nutrition mm-hmm. or to take on their anxiety on their own so they can live more successfully. And again, like I said, these are all evidence-based programs, so with high success rates. And people that have been in these programs, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, some of the support groups and other things that we'll get to that too, but mm-hmm. I imagine that would provide companionship for people. Like if you're depressed, you could take a class maybe about depression, but it would help you get out of the house and talk to people and just be around other people. And so there's a lot of options through both of these agencies that we have represented here today for you to get involved, mm-hmm. you know, so you don't have to sit at home.
If I could just jump
sure,
in for
absolutely.
A second,
because please do.
There's something that Suzanne said that I really want to hit on, and mm-hmm. as part of that whole sort of trend of what we think of as old people issues mm-hmm. and what we're seeing as happening now. I think if we could sort of summarize what the approach has changed from, is it's changed from treatment and recovery to prevention. And so I think all of these things are in place so that you don't have to hit that wall that you used to have to wait to hit. You know, it used to be, well, they're not feeling very well right now. Well, they're now they're in the ER, and now we have to do all these things.
Yeah,
and they go into a nursing home, and they go into recovery, and they come home. Well, I think the whole emphasis has been on, well, let's prevent that. Let's intervene as early as we can. Part of it's compassion. Part of it's money. Because, you know, the more critical the care, then the higher the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it's really about where can you go to intervene and stop the cycle? What can you do to prevent having to be hospitalized? What can you do to prevent having to have ongoing care forever and ever and ever? And slowly, we're beginning to see some of the doctors get more interested in sort of a holistic approach
mm-hmm.
and into nutrition and that kind of stuff, too, so someone isn't on the same medication for 45 years.
Right.
So it's I think, a very it's sort of an awakening in our society that, hey, these people are living longer and probably want to live better while right. they're living longer. So there's, you know, we need to direct our energy towards it.
And I guess that's the idea of not waiting until you're sick to take care of your health, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, sort of.
The quality of life. I mean, mm-hmm. you had to live longer, but like Doug was saying, you want to have that quality of life. You know, you don't want to hit a certain age and go, okay, I'm this age, so I give up.
Done. Yeah.
Well, then that brings on so many other programs that we see all the time as case managers go into homes, you know, to assess people.
Right.
And I mean, what kind of life is that if you can't get out and about and enjoy it because you're battling your diabetes or,
right.
You know, you're struggling walking. So if we can help people get stronger and empower
right.
them with education and tools and resources, then they can improve their quality of life.
So what are the, I mean, we were talking about classes, I think, a little bit before, but there are support groups also for people
yes.
who are, and so let's talk a little bit about that, about support
groups.
Yeah,
we definitely have a lot of support groups through our agency and through other areas, other community partners. The hospitals have some support groups as well. There's Parkinson's support group in this area. There's caregiver support groups. There's Alzheimer's support groups. There's cancer support groups. There's, I believe there's a pain management support group. I want to say at one of the hospitals. Don't quote me on that one.
Okay.
But but there, and then on top of that, then a lot of like Sunset Empire and even Columbia Memorial Hospital. They have like Sunset Empire. They have a aquatic exercise class to help with arthritis. Columbia Memorial Hospital. They have a matter of balance and chronic condition
and
courses.
Tai Chi. And things,
there's Tai
yeah.
Chi courses mm-hmm. at both facilities as well. And so all of this, I mean, kind of getting away from the support groups, but these are all to aid, help get you stronger and give you that support.
Right.
But like going back to support groups, yeah, those are really critical. When you have nowhere to turn to or you need to talk to somebody because maybe you're caring for a loved one or you're dealing with something, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like a companionship and they build a good network and they share ideas. So it's not just the leader of the support group. It's a whole group of people going through and giving you other ideas or just to listen. Because sometimes you need to talk, or maybe you don't want to talk, and you just want to sit there and listen, and
right.
and that will fill your cup, you know?
Yeah, I think that the support groups, they do fill, excuse me, all those roles. And like you said, sometimes it's a matter of just, especially initially when someone mm-hmm. comes to a support group, they may not feel like sharing.
Yeah.
You know, your emotions are up to your eyeballs, so you, as soon mm-hmm. as you start talking, you know, so you just want to listen. And if nothing else, you come away realizing that someone else has been in this spot before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not doing something brand new that no one's ever heard of or done before. And although each of you will handle those issues differently, you've all been through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also then to key off on the different prevention programs, many times in a support group, they'll be talking about, like you mentioned, like a Parkinson's support group. They'll be talking about this or that, and they'll go, well, you know, I'm also taking this through the hospital. There's also this program over here, and someone mm-hmm. in the support group will go, oh. So the support groups become also an avenue for getting people into these other prevention programs.
Right, and helping people stay active.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I think that that idea of being, I briefly went to a support group for caregivers when I was caring for my dad, and it was just really humbling to see how much people were handling, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gave me a sense that I wasn't the only one, you
right.
know, who was feeling like the water was rising, you know, in my little tank of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is a really valuable thing, just to feel like you're not alone. And I think sometimes we think that because we're generally a rural area that we don't have the services that you might have in a big city. But there's a lot of services here and a lot mm-hmm. of things to help people. Well, I just want to remind you that we're about halfway through the show, that you're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout. And I'm here in the studio with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington and Suzanne Bjornson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services in Oregon. And we are talking today in the new year our first show of the new year, about an overview of the programs that our agencies, that their agencies offer that can be of use to seniors, because seniors are living longer, they're more active, we're more healthy, we are more healthy, and and so we're not just going to sit down and die is the message, and
Absolutely.
Also that there's a lot of services there to help people remain healthy, deal with problems that they do have, and not feel isolated. So Doug, can we talk with you about, you know, the Washington side of things? And it's things are accessed a little bit differently in Washington. Can you talk a little bit about the programs, too?
Right, they're accessed differently. A lot of the programs are the same, the support groups, those type of things. A lot of the managing chronic conditions and pain management, that kind of stuff, is now handled through our hospitals over there, at least in Pacific County. And but we can still take the referrals and make the connections and do those type of things. So a lot of those programs are still in effect, although they're not coordinated through our agency any longer. But they're always, as on both sides of the river, our agencies are always sort of a clearinghouse anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to work with people on that. Also, I encourage people to, if you have a situation in your life and you're looking around and there is nothing, the nearest group that would benefit you is maybe in Portland or Longview or something, let us know. I mean, because there's other people we can talk to, too, and a lot of times those grassroots movements are what cause things to happen.
Yeah.
Which brings up the idea of volunteerism also. If it wasn't for our senior population, our volunteer group would be pretty small, food banks and all of that. It's
right.
There's a
right.
huge percentage of seniors are involved
yeah.
in that because they're staying active, they're helping the community. But they're also good about letting us know and letting other people know in the communities or even town hall meetings about why don't we have this in our area? Mm-hmm. We've talked to several people, you know, who need this.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you said, people just aren't aware of it.
Yeah.
Because you don't need help until you need help, right?
So, well,
you
know, yeah, like, absolutely. I like what you said about that, too, with the volunteering is a lot of our programs that we do offer in the support groups, they wouldn't be available if we didn't have these volunteers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we really rely, like, on home-delivered meals and at the congregate meal sites and
right, right.
to help educate people, like, with Medicare or even some of the support groups are ran by retired people who are now volunteering. Mm-hmm. They really, like in my position, especially, they really aid me in being able to offer a lot more to our community. And we're always in need for more volunteers, too.
Yeah, sure.
Just put that little plug in there.
And I think when you're talking about some of these issues that are very age-related, it just creates empathy when the person who's talking with you is somebody who might have that same problem themselves.
Correct, yeah.
You know, that helps in some of the
yeah,
programs.
Yeah, so they can definitely relate.
Well, so we were talking a little bit before the show about like depression and anxiety kind of counseling, mm-hmm. which I think probably a lot of people have that and don't really think, they just think that that's just the way life is. So what mm-hmm. what kind of counseling is there available for people who just, I mean, they're not really sick, they're just feeling down. Can mm-hmm. could they call either of your agencies and get some kind of help with that?
Well, on our side of the river, it's interesting to think about the things that didn't used to have, quote, treatment, end quote, mm-hmm. Available. People would say, oh, well, you know, they're just a little depressed, or they've got some anxiety, or that kind of thing. But as, again, as models and things change and more information comes out, people are realizing that, you know, a diagnosis of anxiety disorder or depression, if it's an actual diagnosis, it's a real deal. And, mm-hmm. you know, you need people, you need services and that kind of thing. And I think the mental health groups have also stepped up to where they say, well, it's not really a mental health diagnosis. Well, it is now because mm-hmm. it's occurring so much. And so there's a lot of instances where we can make referrals. One of the interesting things, too, about the aging thing, I don't know about this side, but for our side, Willapa Behavioral Health for a long time could help Medicaid people, could help private pay people, could help people on a sliding scale or a spend down, but Medicare wouldn't pay. They didn't. You had to have a Medicare-certified therapist, so you had to have this sort of special licensure to be able to bill Medicare, which they can now do.
Oh,
but I think that's another thing that at least that I can see where, okay, people are becoming aware that not only are there a lot more of us seniors out there, but, you know, we're normal. We have issues, too.
Yeah. So, and it's normal to have issues. Well, you
right.
know, we've talked on the show before about how people on the upper end, I mean, because now essentially the senior demographic embraces a couple of generations. I mean, you know, my dad died when he was 98, and I'm a senior. So, right. And he just died last year. So in his generation, needing mental health care meant that you were crazy.
Yes.
And no one would do it. And in my generation, it's like, I have a therapist, you know, and like, and I do, you know, and it's, and I'm happy with her, you know. So I think it's changing, isn't it? I mean, do you yeah. see that? That well, you know, I mean, it's not so embarrassing to need help.
Right. In our family caregiver support program, that is for caregivers that we have if you're caring for a loved one. We have 8 counseling sessions that come with that. And I see that growing where people are more interested in that program because, oh, I can go see a therapist and 8 sessions would be covered.
Yeah.
So that's right. really exciting to me. And you hear all over that the therapists in this area have pretty full caseloads too. So people are utilizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's opened up for seniors in our area, this is a rural hotline. It's called the Oregon Senior Peer Outreach.
Oh, wow.
And it's through GOBE, which is the Greater Oregon Behavioral Health. And it will connect you. So you have senior peer support specialists and they will give you a weekly phone call. And they really try to match people together. And that's a really kind of a nice, warm connection. It's not organized in necessarily in a way that's super structured. It's just somebody that you can connect with on a weekly basis. And sometimes that's all people want. So it's like a friend you're speaking to.
Sure.
So that's another nice option that we have. And not to mention, you know, again, we talked about the peer support groups. And to name a couple more that are out there, because these are kind of soft, you know, connections, not with a licensed therapist by any means, but there's an MS self-help group there. And like we said, the Parkinson's, then there's groups to help you deal with your grief and give you that support. And then there's a woman's heart support group and a really neat one that we have in this area. Again, GOBE, organizes it is a men's, a senior men's discussion group.
Wow.
And they meet each month. And so I've heard really great things about that group. So my point is that we almost have a group where everybody can almost kind of identify with or relate to in some way. So if you want more information on this stuff, you can just call our agency and we'll find you the numbers and how to connect with it and get involved.
I was just chuckling because, you know, we're talking about all these like peer counseling and all the counseling, because we have counseling available in our family mm-hmm. caregiver support program too. And then you're talking about, you know, how the women can go to these counseling things. Then it comes to the men and it goes, the men have a senior discussion group. You know? it's not because we
That's
don't
how they
need
have it. Labeled.
Yeah. Well, I can
it's
just
not
hear,
because we don't need it. I mean, it's just that we're men, you know, well, so we're just going to discuss.
I know. Well, that's a stereotype, but my dad would have been like, what are we going to talk about? You know, if you put him in a discussion group, he'd be like, what?
No. Exactly.
And now I think, which is a good thing, you know, that people are sort of realizing that it's not a bad thing to, you know, just let somebody help you.
Right.
That's a good thing to let somebody help mm-hmm. you if
exactly.
you need help, you know, that's a positive
well,
thing.
Well, yeah, because then it prevents the crisis from happening.
Yes.
And that's
yeah.
our main goal is we don't
right.
want anyone to experience that.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it goes back to prevention versus treatment and recovery. Yeah.
And I think, you know, the whole idea of the soft connections that you said, Suzanne, that's such a great idea. Because it's such a great concept because we've talked so many times on the show about how people can get isolated when they get older. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this, you don't have to be sick to reach out to these programs. You can do it while you're well. And
right.
it might really help you feel weller, you know, mm-hmm. is weller a word? It is now.
Well, I can tell you're in radio.
Really? Anyway. Oh, yeah. I got it. It's because no one can see me. Anyway, so I think, you know, this is just a really good topic for the new year, because if you have any resolutions, maybe some of these programs could help you accomplish them. You know?
Well, and I also think it's encouraging. We're limited in a rural area, as we all know. I mean, if you do a survey, you come back with the same needs, community needs almost every time, transportation to medical, housing, you know,
right.
that type of thing. But I think that also we're seeing more interest in, instead of just saying, okay, those are the needs, of really trying to see what we can do to make those, make that happen.
Right.
And I think a lot of it that we're going to have to really rely on, again, in rural areas are the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne mentioned the volunteer drivers. I mean, we can get grants and all that for transportation, but unless you have volunteer drivers or something, you know, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to do that. But I have confidence in our communities here on the coast, because I've seen volunteers over the years that, like Suzanne said, if we didn't have volunteers, there's a lot of programs that wouldn't be out there running right now.
Right, absolutely.
So,
well, not to mention, I mean, we do have programs running, but they're kind of on little shoestrings, because it's like, oh, we're at the mercy of just a couple of people that are working really hard in their senior years to help keep it sustained. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, right.
I mean, it is an area that we constantly are in need for more.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I we're sort of getting toward the end of the show where we do contact information, but I just want to say, kind of tell a funny story and say, just the idea of embracing being a senior person, you know, because one of us wants to think that we're old with a capital O, but older is okay, but you know, but then, so I'm in a store yesterday and I'm buying something and the cashier, who's pretty young, you know, leans over the counter and says to me, she's ringing up my son, she goes, do you want to use the senior discount? And I was like, yahoo, yes, you betcha. It's like she didn't want to really admit that there was this
funny
older person, you know, and I thought, well, yeah, all right, you know, I'll take my senior
embrace
discount,
it,
please, you know. And so, you know, so anyway, the message here is that it's okay to be where we are, and that there's a lot of really great support for where we are. So
my boss used to have a saying that, and he just recently retired after 33 years with our agency, but he said that aging is an achievement. That was his thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something that you've achieved through the years.
Really, we are still breathing, you know. Still.
Exactly.
Well,
so keep those discounts coming.
Keep those discounts coming, Yahoo. I'm for it. So we are at the point in the show where we give contact information. So Suzanne, would you tell people how they can get a hold of Northwest Senior and Disability Services?
Yes. For more information, you can contact Northwest Senior and Disability Services through our ADRC line. And this goes right to our agency. This is 1-866-206-479.
Olympic Area Agency on Aging. And what about the website, in case people are driving and they just want to Google it?
Can get a hold of us at nwsds.org. So that stands for Northwest Senior and Disability Services.
And so, you know, if you don't remember that acronym, you can Google it. But it's
we'll come right up.
It's a great website, and you can find out a lot just from looking at the website. So, Doug.
In Long Beach, our office is 360-642-3634. And our North Pacific County office in Raymond is 360-942-2177. Our website is www.o3a, and that's the numeral 3.org.
And so there are Olympic Area Agencies on Aging around Washington, too. So if somebody was elsewhere, they could look it up. They could just look up another Olympic Area Agency on Aging.
The Olympic Area Agency on Aging is our agency, which covers the coast of Washington.
Oh, the coast of Washington.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
great.
If you look up Area Agencies on Aging, you can start doing a refined search, Oregon, Washington, National.
All over the country.
Yeah, all over the
terrific.
Country.
Okay, so that if somebody were listening to us online somewhere else, they could, that these, there's, they, there are senior services in your area, maybe not called exactly this. But
a lot of times, nationally, they have the Aging and Disability Resource Connection. That's ADRC. And the one, if you call in Oregon, you're going to get specifically to the area that you're calling in, and vice versa. So,
well, I was just thinking about family that I have on the East Coast who are dealing with aging relatives, and they asked me a question, and I said, well, just there are senior services in your area. Just figure out where it is in your state, and there's going to be something comparable to this wherever.
And if you're computer savvy, a lot of times you can do a Google search on, you know, area on aging or.
Yeah, and there's a national affiliation.
Great. You've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I've been here in the studio this month with Suzanne Bjornsson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you next month.